let's everyone just lift your hands right now. If you have breath in your lungs, it's because God gave it to you. Come on, and that alone makes him great. And if he's great in your life, or he's been great in your life, can you just go ahead and give him your best worship right now? Come on, open up your heart. Come on, not clapping. I'm talking about worshiping. I'm talking about offering up the fruit of your lips right now. Come on, I'm talking about hearts wide open. Come on, hands lifted high. Come on, in an act of surrender today. God, you are great. There is absolutely no one like you. You are great and greatly to be praised. There is none beside you. There will never be another like you, Father. It all starts with you. It all ends with you, Father. You're El Shaddai. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're Jehovah Shalom. You're Jehovah Tiskanu, Father. You are everything that we will ever need you to be. And we lift up a great worship today to a great God. And so, Father, as we've taken time, Father, with the breath that you've given us in our lungs, to give you the glory that is due unto your name, that has caused us to decrease in this place, Father. It is literally less of us and more of you. Have a great expression of your love today, Father. Put lives back together, Father, as the psalmist ministered to us today, Father. Every broken piece represented in this room, Father, may you put it all together until we are made whole, Father. We know in the spirit realm we are already whole. But Father, in the natural realm, cause these pieces to line up, Father, so that ultimately we can give you the glory. And so, Father, have your way today. Holy Spirit, have your way today. Move in and out of every aisle, up and down every row. Father, I believe that the anointing is here to remove burdens and destroy yokes. And not one person will walk out of here the same way that they came in. Holy Spirit, if you desire to function or flow in any of the gifts or operations of the Spirit, have your way today. Be glorified in this service. We'll give you all the glory for all the good that will come out of it today. In Jesus' name. And everyone that agrees with that prayer, shout it. Come on, one good time. Everyone that agrees with that prayer, shout it. Praise God. Hug somebody, love on somebody, shake someone's hand today, compliment them, speak life into them, and then you can be seated. Excellent praise and worship this morning. Excellent praise and worship. Praise God. How can we not call him great? I don't know. Has a great God been great to anyone in this building? That didn't sound too much like it. I said, has a great God been great to anyone in this building? Well, we are in day 7 of the fast. Praise God. Prayer and fasting. Today's devotion was about knowing God from St. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. I just want to encourage you, if you haven't gotten in already, it's not too late. I'll talk more about that at the end of the service. But before I even begin the message today, I want to give a shout out to the brothers. Man, we had almost 300 men come out here for prayer. I'm sorry, I should say males, because it was young men there, teenagers there. And how many of you know it's not normal for 300 on a Wednesday night? Most of the times, guys will say, I'm with the pastor in spirit. I worked all day long. I'll just pray from home. But man, almost 300 guys showed up at this altar. Come on, somebody ought to give God glory for that today. Congregation came back out. Packed house, really nice crowd on Saturday for Saturday morning prayer. This is the mantra that I live by. If you want to judge or measure the maturity of a church, don't measure it by the crowds on Sunday. Measure it by the people who attend the prayer meetings, by the size of the prayer meeting. because that's how mature church actually is. And so when I tell you, I felt so good about where we are as a church after the first week of prayer and fasting, I know it will only grow and get greater from here. I love you all. I wouldn't want to pastor anyone else in the United States of America but this group here at Linked Up Church. All right, and so go with me to Jeremiah today, chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. I just want to read our opening text before I give you the title. I think it'll probably already go up on the screen, or it may already be up there. But when you think about over the course of your life, right, especially the way I grew up, you know, if you got in a little trouble, all of us had someone we believed we could call. Am I right about that, right? And then there were other people in our lives who knew that they were there for us and couldn't understand why we didn't call them, right? Have you ever had someone make this statement to you? Why didn't you just call me, right? Or we've observed someone else that was in a challenge or a trying situation. Maybe we couldn't get to them, but we just kind of put up this signal right here, right? Usually the person that is asking you to call them, they believe they have the answers already. Not only do they believe they have the answers already, they also believe they have the provision. Or they wouldn't tell you to call them. Is that an accurate statement? Right? Well, how many know God is no different? God is not going to tell us to call him and he not deliver on what we called him about. Jeremiah chapter 33, let's read verses 1 through 3. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying," so he is in prison, "then the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed and established it, the Lord is his name." So notice he's telling Jeremiah that I am supreme in authority. There is no one higher than me. Everything that you see, I'm the one that established it. Everything that's in this earth, I created it. I'm the Lord higher than anything else, and I have creative ability to create and make a situation that you personally need if you'll just come to me. Verse 3 goes on to say specifically, "Call to me." You know, he wouldn't tell Jeremiah to call to me if Jeremiah wasn't possibly calling other people. This is a word of the Lord unto Jeremiah. So he's speaking specifically to him. How many of us have just called the wrong people and got the wrong information? Come on, anybody ever experienced? You ever got off the phone and said, "Why did I call them anyway? Come on, am I the only one that ever, why did I call them anyway?" So notice he's being specific, Jeremiah, "Call to me. Call to me." And look what he tells him, "and I will answer you. Not only will I answer you, but I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't even know." Folks, I came to tell you today that there's some great and mighty things that are waiting for you in your future, that are in your life right now, that you don't even know about. But the fact that you don't know about it doesn't mean that they don't exist. Hello, somebody. And what God wants to do is reveal that to you. But I mean, you got to call him in order to get the instructions. We're going to talk to you about how to do that. So the title of my message today is "Call Me." Call me, not me, Joel Gregory. Call God. Let that be your first response to anything that goes on in your life. The first person I want to talk to is God. Before your spouse, before your children, listen to this, before your pastor, make sure that you talk to God. I can almost guarantee you if you'll talk to him first, you probably won't need to talk to your spouse, your pastor, or your children. You're not going to get a better answer or a better direction than from God himself. So Jeremiah was commanded to pray for great and mighty things from the confinement of a prison. I just want to show you how creative God is. God was not concerned about Jeremiah's location. Come on, you might be broke right now, but God is not concerned about that. You might be sick right now, but God is not concerned about that. Your relationship might be broken right now, but God is not concerned about that. The only thing God is concerned about is you calling him so he can get you out of that situation. So Jeremiah was in the confinement of a prison. A rebellious king named Zedekiah attempted to stifle the prophet's convicting pronouncements about the doom of Judah because of their disobedience. This king would be the last before Babylon would take the nation captive for 70 years. So the Lord would command Jeremiah to pray and then back that command up with his creative power. So you'll notice before we got to verse 3, God had to remind Jeremiah that I am the Lord. I created everything in this earth. I'm the one that established it. So when I tell you to come to me, there is nothing too difficult for me. And I want to encourage somebody's heart today. Sometimes life throws us a curveball where everything looks hopeless for us. But I'm telling you, man, if you will call the Lord and you'll call him personally, he has creative ability to bring something out of nothing, to create something that never existed, to shift things in your favor. Come on, to set up one and take down another. God has an ability to create something out of nothing if you'll just call him. So we must pray because God has the power to deliver on what he promises. How many of y'all believe God has the power to deliver? If most of us really believe that, we would pray more than what we actually pray. So there is power in God's position as creator. This is why it is so necessary to obey his command to call upon him. We're going to look at three areas. I'll get through two of them on today. Point number one today, let's look at his position. His position is to call to me. How many of y'all can admit over the course of your life that has not always been your first response? Believe it or not, most of us rely on past experience, right? Whatever worked for us before. So whatever I did to get out of it before, let me go back and do that again. That's really human nature right there. If someone helped me before, let me call them. Maybe they can help me again, right? How many know God has a zillion different ways to get answers to you? And usually with him is never the same way twice. If I would have relied on past experience, how many know we wouldn't be here right now? Because there's been nothing conventional about getting here. There's no blueprint for this. How many know when you go through the wilderness, there is no blueprint in the wilderness. You got to follow and obey instructions step by step. So notice his position. Call to me. Now, the first question I would ask is, why would he ask me to call him? Right? Why would he ask me to call him? I would want to know, what is it he's thinking about that would tell me to call him? What is he thinking about that he's telling me to call him? Well, he answers that question for us. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 29, and let's read verses 11 through 13. Jeremiah is just a few books over. And so we can see here, he's working Jeremiah here towards a solution to this captivity that Jerusalem is in. Let's pick it up at verse 1 here. Jeremiah, or verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, call to me. I would want to know why and what is God thinking. Call me. Call to me. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace. That word there, peace, is shalom. What I'm thinking about is providing you safety. That's what that word means. I want to cause you to be well. I want you to be happy. I want to be friendly to you. I want you to have good welfare. I want you to experience health. I noticed, I looked everywhere that I could, every definition for shalom, none of them had healing in it. God's highest will for your life is that you never get sick. Let me try this side of the room over here. I looked everywhere I could, every definition, every Hebrew definition for shalom, and I never saw healing. The only thing I saw was health. All he's thinking about, folks, is that you can be healthy. He's thinking about your prosperity. He wants every need that you have met and in abundance beside. He wants every bill paid so that you can help other people pay their bills. Come on, he wants you to go on vacation and pay for the vacation before you get on the plane. Come on, prosperity is the will of God for your life. He wants you to have more than what you need. That's all he's thinking about. Favor. How many of you know favor is not fair? But that's what he's thinking about. He's thinking about giving you favor with people who can help you get into places that you can't get yourself in. He's thinking about rest. How many of y'all are tired? He's thinking about giving you rest. And he's thinking about your wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. Everything about you is just put together. So he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The King James Version says to give you an expected end. Then he says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. So this knowledge should assist us in our prayer efforts. If we already know that when I call him, there's nothing evil he's thinking about me, then it should assist me in going to him first if I know all he wants me to be is well, prosperous, healthy, whole. Come on, somebody. Right? It should make me want to run and call him because that's what he's thinking about in my situation. Now, let's talk about when should I call him. When should I call him? How many know most of us wait till we're already in trouble? We kind of live our lives, and then when something happens, oh, let me call God. But I want you to know he'll be for you then. He'll be there for you then, too, long as you call him, right? Go with me to Psalms number 50. When should we call him? Letter A, in the day of trouble. In the day of trouble. Anyone ever had any of those days over the course of your life? I've had, seems like thousands of them. Notice Psalms 50 stanza or number 15 here says, call upon me in the day of trouble. Guess what that word trouble means? Tightness. When you have adversaries, people coming against you. When you have adversity, circumstances coming against you. When you're experiencing affliction or anguish or distress or tribulation. Anybody ever just been tight for you? I've been there before. I'm talking about when I'm looking at more bills than I have money to pay. It's tight right now, right? Or the job has told me certain things about how much longer will, how many know things start squeezing in on you? I want to read to you a promise when things get tight, when people come against you, circumstances and affliction. Notice what he said, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Notice all he's saying is when I deliver you, make sure you give me the glory. Come on, that's a Bible promise right there. He didn't say, I might deliver you. He said, what? I will deliver you. When will he deliver you? When it's tight, when people are coming against you, when circumstances are. He said, if you'll call me, I'll get you out of that situation. Go with me to Psalms 91. Let's look at stanza or verses or numbers 14 through 16. Psalms 91. Anybody in here love God? I mean, love him with every fiber of your being. I'm talking about undeniable love for God. Here's another promise for you. We learn about the character of God in the Old Testament. It says in verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Which, who's the him or her? The one that has set their love upon him. Not only will he deliver you, he'll set you on high. People, I want you to understand the character of God. It wouldn't be his deliverance if he delivered you into the same situation. I mean, he delivered my wife and I, but he didn't give us the same scenario. He lifted us higher. Come on, will somebody let him lift you higher? See, a lot of times we're just content with just pay me back what I lost, but that's not the character of God. If it's God's deliverance, it's always going to be higher than what you lost. So he says, and I will set him on high. Why? Because he's known my name. See, if you want to get some insight into prayer, folks, and calling God, make sure that you love him and make sure that you have a relationship with him. Says, he shall call upon me. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him and be with him in trouble. And I will deliver him and honor him. Not only will I deliver and honor him, but with long life I'll satisfy. God wants you to live a long, satisfied life. And I'm going to show him, a particular individual, my salvation or my deliverance. How long? All the days of his life, which means every time you get in trouble, God will always be with you in that trouble. He'll always set you on high as a result of that trouble. He'll always honor you. He will always satisfy you and then seal it with giving you long life. Folks, you need to let your haters, you need to learn how to smile in the face of people that are coming against you. You need to learn how to not respond, not give people answers. You've got to have some inside information that they're not just coming against you. They're coming against the God who is in you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If they want trouble, then it's trouble they'll get. But it's not you that should deliver the trouble. Let God fight your battles for you. Come on, because God will bring you out victorious every time. And all he said you had to do was call me. Call me. Can you imagine, God, you're sitting there all tight and in trouble? Come on, people coming against you. Just get this image of God. Just, you know, when people say that, when they do that, what they're saying is, I got you. Right? Another way to look at it, you don't have to go through what you're going through if you'll just give me a call. Come on, I'm preaching better than anybody saying amen. Let her be all day, right? Call on him all day long. Go with me to Psalms 55. Let's look at stanza 17 here, or number 17. Psalms all day long, evening and morning. And at noon, I will what? I will what? How often? Evening, morning, noon. How many know you should be talking to God all day long? Hello? Talking to him all day long. He says here, I will pray and cry aloud, and watch this, and he shall hear my voice. When else should you call him? When you need mercy. I don't know about you. Mercy means compassion. I've needed a lot of that over my saved life, 29 years. Anybody else? Anybody just thought to yourself, I messed up this time? What about this one right here? Oh, found myself in the same. How did I get right back here again? Come on, anybody else? That's when you need to know that God is compassionate and he has mercy. You know what most people do when they mess up? They run from God because they have a bad image of God. They think he's sitting up there waiting with some big mallet ready to just hammer you on your head. That's really not his character. He understands that you're human, you're made of flesh, right? I'm sure you're different, paint a different picture for you. Imagine if we treated our marriages this way. Imagine if we treated our children this way, right? The way I'm always able to process this is how much compassion and mercy have I needed over my 29 years of being saved? Can I just tell you all the truth? There are things I've been struggling with the whole 29 years I've been saved, and God hasn't stopped loving me. And how do we treat our people that we love the best? You do that one more time. You got one more time. And folks, if it was just one more time, I wouldn't even be saved. God would have killed. I would have been gone 29 years ago. Because there are things he's still waiting on me to work out. And guess what, folks? The longer he tarries and the longer I live, there'll still be stuff I need to work out. Let's look at his character. When you need mercy, Psalms 86, stanza 5. For you, Lord, are good. We can just stop right there and go home. Come on, does anybody know that God is good? Come on, can you just take 3 seconds to give a good God a good praise in this place? For Lord, you are good. Watch this now. Not only are you good, you're ready to forgive. Can you imagine God just standing there, just, come on, come to me, call me so I can forgive you. Lord, you are good and ready to forgive. Watch this. And abundant in mercy. But only to those who what? I wonder how many of us suffer in silence over choices that we made when it was just as simple as calling. And he's standing there like this. Just ask me. Just matter of fact, in the New Testament, he's already forgiven you. So you can actually go in knowing that what you did has already been forgiven. But you need to repent. See, I still need to acknowledge what I've done is not right. Realize my thinking is off in New Covenant, right? And then get some new information so that my behavior can change. When you need, letter D, when you need grace and help, that's a good time to call him. When you need grace and help. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I used this one when we were getting ready to open up this building. And I went back in my office and I said, God, I need your help right now. True story. There is an inspector out there playing games. I need you, God, to help us. Whatever needs to happen, push this through so we open up tonight. How many of y'all know he came through? I said, how many of y'all know he came through? Why did he come through? Now imagine if I would have thought I had to do something. Right? A lot of people don't even know that's an option. They just try to do it on their own. I actually literally went back in the back. God, Father, I need your help right now. They just told me we do not have an occupancy permit and it's 90 minutes before the service opens. We've got a rogue inspector out there, soften his heart, touch his heart. He's out there playing game. Turn it in our favor and deliver the permit. They walked in my office, delivered, showed me the permit, and I was like, glory to God. Let's have this grand opening and give God the glory. I mean, oh, the rest is history. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come how? See, boldly is the opposite of timid. God, I don't know. I don't like this either, but don't come in there all weak and timid and God, if it be your will. Hello, somebody. How many of you need to know what his will is before you go in there? Boldly means all, it means frankness. It means all outspokenness. It means confidence. Right? If you're raising kids, how many know that's how they come to you? Hey, Pook. Hey, babe. I went to go see my daughter on yesterday. She told me she was going to watch the 9 a.m. service online. She knows her father. If I listen to her long enough, she's working on something. She said, well, you all know I'm a broke college student now. I said, girl, stop. Don't you ever call yourself broke. If I got it, you got it, right? So then we riding around, go pick her up some stuff. We go get something to eat. While we're sitting down eating, she's talking about, I've got to get some money. I'm all out of money. Can you all see how this conversation is going? We need to leave here and go to a bank. But, Daddy, there's not a PNC bank within 45 miles of the campus. How do you know she's working on something? How much do you need? See, all she's really got to do is what? That's all she's got to do. How much do you need, babe? How much do you need? Just some spending money. So I reach in my pocket, take out a $50 bill, get it to her, and of course, what did she do? But listen, she didn't have to do all of that. Soon as she saw me, you know what she could have said? Daddy, I need $50. That girl's got so much grace and favor with me. I probably would have gave her $100 if she would have asked for $50. I'm just showing you the heart of a father. See, you're asking for a promotion and he'll promote you twice. I wish somebody in here understood. I wish anybody had. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about you think all I want is a $5,000 raise and you'll end up with a $25,000 raise because he touched the heart of your boss. Come on, somebody. Gave you favor with your boss. They put you in a whole new department because God's favor was on your life and he loves it when you come to him and ask him for help when you need it. He wants to show out, show you he's a daddy and he loves you more than anything else. He wants to do this for you. So it says here, let us therefore come boldly to the throne. Notice what he calls his throne, a throne of grace. Grace is unearned favor. It is unmerited favor on your life. You didn't do anything to earn it, so you can't do anything to lose it. You go on behalf of what Jesus has done for you and walk in the favor that his death, burial, and resurrection and his finished work has provided for you. It's all on your life. It's everywhere you go. It's everywhere you walk. When you get to the grocery store, there are no parking spaces. You drive around one time and one opens up right at the front door. Come on, somebody. That's just what's on your life. Nobody can get tickets to the event, and then all of a sudden somebody resells one back, opens up, and you get them. I remember one time there was a pair of shoes that I wanted, couldn't find them anywhere. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I just said, let me go check the website again. There was one pair left in my size. Come on, somebody. 50% off. I said, God, you just love me so much. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That is what's on your life. If you'll just do what? You come to his throne of grace so that you can obtain mercy, not judgment, compassion, and then find grace to help in your time of need. Anybody have a need right now? Come on, anybody have a need right now? Lift that other hand up in the air and say, Father, I come boldly to your throne of grace to obtain favor and help in this time of need. I'm a giver, and because I give, all of my needs are met according to your riches in glory. I receive the need met now. In Jesus' name. Now go ahead and release it right now. Come on, act like you already have it. Come on, act like you're already walking in it. Come on, receive it by faith. Come on, you got to see it before you see it. You got to have it before you have it. You got to know it before you know it. Now, I guarantee you on the authority and power of God's word, because you called him, some of those needs are already met. Some will be met before you leave the sanctuary today. Others will be met before you get home. Others will be met when you show up on your job on Monday. Others will be met all week long. Why? Because his favor is all over you. It's all around you. Come on, it's not fair, but we'll take it all day long. So the power of his position is behind his command to pray. So it's natural for us to ask why we don't do something that is so sensible. Right? If this is so sensible and just right, the right thing to do, why don't we do it? I want to give you an answer, I believe. I want to suggest an answer to that question. We cannot experience the power of prayer because of our preoccupation with this world. If we spent half the time in prayer that we do on social media, Are you picking with people now? Are you going to make me come down here on the floor? I said, if we just spent half the time, half of it, that we do on the phone, binging our favorite shows. We don't watch TV no more. We just save it so we can watch it for hours at a time. We got all these TVs in the house. Nobody watch no more. Kids on computers, Hulu, Roku, flat screens everywhere. Flat screens cost money. Nobody watching TV no more. They have something on your phone, if you have an iPhone, called screen time. Compare your screen time with your God time. When I saw that, I said, I'm shutting social media off for 21 days. I don't love this more than I love God. That was just personal to me. I'm not telling you all to do that. But I found that I was spending about an hour, hour and a half with God, about two and a half with social media a day. That's out of balance. Do you all still love me? Why am I getting all these kind of looks, man? I mean, I'm feeling something from somewhere. Look at what Charles Spurgeon wrote. Listen to this, powerful. Charles Spurgeon, theologian. We have hours, this quote should go up on the screen. We have hours for the world and only moments for Christ. We measure our prayer time in minutes because of the allure of this present worldly arrangement of things. So the average believer's prayer life looks like this. Wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. I give you the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Next prayer you might hear is over breakfast. Thank you for the food that I'm getting ready to receive. Next prayer over lunch, if I remember. Don't look at me like that. I'm watching TV, social media, everything else all in between. Yep. Then before we go to bed at night, thank you for keeping me through the day and prospering me along my way. Thank you for angels and keeping me, and I pray for sweet sleep. You give your beloved sweet sleep. In Jesus' name. Let's close. I'm working on my time management. Number two, his promise. We're going to close with his promise. What is his promise? I will answer you. I want you to listen to me. It's one thing when another person says that they will do something for us. How many of us human beings, they meant well when they said that, right? But if their situation changes, they can't do it anymore, right? They didn't lie. The situation just changed. They meant it when they said it, but over the course of time, life happened and situations changed. They can't do what they originally thought they were going to do. So, it is quite another way when God says that he will do something for us. Listen to me, folks. I put this on everything that I love. God will always make good on his promises to you. If you'll just what? Psalm 65, stanza 5. Says, by awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us. See, because he's right, he has to do a righteous, he has to do the right thing every single time. So if he said it, then he has to do it. Says, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, you, that God, will always answer us. You see his character then. He's telling you, if you call me, I will answer you. When we obey the command to pray, then the character of God provides the confidence that he will answer. Watch this now. But if you don't know his character, you don't have the confidence to ask him. Is that an accurate statement? Typically, we only go to people who we already know their character before we go to them. We don't want to go to people who will make it worse. You know, sometimes the worst things you can do is tell a low character person your business. God is high character. Not only can you come to him, not only will he answer, but he'll keep your business between you and him. Let me show you his character, and we're going to close with this last text for the day. This will be a three-part series, so I'm not done with the message, okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says, I want to show you the character of God, all right? Everybody, please get to understand, don't miss this moment right here. Understand the character of God. It says here in Romans 8, 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now, I don't know about you folks. I wouldn't give my children for none of you all. And I don't mean that the wrong way, but man, I don't have that in me. I'm trying to paint a picture for you. I'm already struggling with dropping my daughter off on the University of Georgia's campus with football and basketball players running around everywhere. She told me one of her friends picked them up and took her over to the athlete's dorm. I was like, Lord Jesus, Jesus be a fence all around her every day. And she said one of the athletes was injured, and he rolled up on her in a wheelchair behind her, rolled up on her, and he said to her, it's all foreign to them, what y'all want to get into tonight? She said, she looked back at him, I don't even know you. What are you talking about? You understand what I'm telling you? You can't have, man, listen. That statement made me want to get in the car and go to the athlete's dorm and find who's in a wheelchair. Which one of them injured? Which one of them pushing a wheelchair around? I'm Coach Gregory from Linked Up Church. I got a scholarship for him. Come on, anybody in here know what I'm talking about? That's how much I love my kids. You can't have them. I'm talking about character. He says here, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Folks, you're paying for too much stuff, and it's already been paid for you. I just got to stop. I could work with that for a minute. You understand what he's saying? If I gave you my son, you don't think I can give you a job? Come on, if I gave you my son, you don't think I can bring a spouse into your life? You understand? What's more difficult than giving you my most prized possession? I can't heal your body. I can't pay off all of your bills. I can't prosper your business. So his justice demanded payment for our sin, so he spared not his own son. So the love of God met the justice of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Do you understand? There's nothing greater. He's already given you the greatest thing he can give you. Everything else is real small to him. 33 acres over there, baby food. Whole city of Powder Springs, baby food. We can save the whole city. Let's summarize. I'm done. What we've learned today. The power of his position issues forth an admonition to call upon him. The power of his promise assures that he will answer. So we must pray Because God has the power to deliver on what he promises. Let's lift our hands. Stand to our feet. Let's lift our hands to a holy God today. Come on. Come on. Hurry up. Hurry up. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands to a holy God today. I want you to act on the word today. You know more about your life and your situation than anyone else in this building. I want you to act on what you heard today. I want you to call him right now. Anytime that you go to the Father, just go to him in the name of Jesus. You don't need any deep type of prayer here. Whatever you communicate to him, just close it out with in the name of Jesus and then begin to thank him for your answer. Go ahead and call on him right now about your situation. Call him right now. You know more about it than anyone else in this building. Call him right now. Say, Father God, I ask you to meet this need in my life. Your creative power and ability has already shown me that you can do it. And so now, Father, as I lift it up before you and I present it to you, I thank you that I already have the answer, I'm already delivered from it, and I already have the provision that I need. I'm just modeling up here. And now I offer you thanksgiving in advance for what I know I already have in Jesus' name. Now, would you just go ahead and thank the Father right now? Go ahead and thank the Father. Go ahead, thank him, thank him, thank him. However you're led to do it, whether that's clapping, whether that's opening up your mouth, whatever it is, but really you've got to say something. Even with the clapping, say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Lord. Say, Father, I give you thanksgiving and glory and honor. You're such a good God. Hallelujah. Now, while you're in that attitude of prayer, everyone just look up here at me for a moment. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put off to tomorrow what God is convicting you about today. So if you don't know the Father through a personal relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, I want to pray with and for you today. All you've got to do is confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God raised him from the grave. You can be a child of God.